Now, welcome to the news review. Yemen's Ansarullah movement and allied army units say that they have attacked a military target in the Saudi capital, Riyadh. The army says it carried out the raid with drones. Saudi Arabia has denied it. It says it shot down a drone inside Yemen. Now, this is a day after the Yemeni military fired 10 ballistic missiles at Saudi military sites in Jizan International Airport. It said the attack was the largest operation with short-range ballistic missiles against the Saudi targets. The Yemeni army conducts reprisal raids on Saudi positions in response to the kingdom's war. The war started in March 2015 and has taken the lives of some 16,000 people, many of them women and children. Now let's discuss this issue from London. I'm joined by Tony Gosling, who's an investigative journalist. Good to have you with us, Tony. You see, it's entering the fifth year. It's already the fifth year that the Saudi-led coalition, you know, has entered this destructive war against an impoverished country called Yemen, which was not known until just maybe the case of Jamal Khashoggi. Some people never heard of a country called Yemen. And now we are hearing that the Yemeni forces are actually enhancing their response to the Saudi war, and they are targeting different targets with, you know, drones, this recent one that Saudi Arabia denies, and also with ballistic missiles. So in what context can we evaluate this? I mean, it looks like the Saudi-led war coalition has not been able to reach its targets in Yemen.
Well, look, as with every single war which has taken place over the last 20 years on this planet, we need to always take a step back from the present to have a look at why this war has taken place in the first place. Now, in the case of Yemen, we have to go right back almost 100 years to the origin of the Arabian Peninsula. Actually, in those days, Saudi Arabia and Yemen were one country, and we can see many echoes today of that reality in that many of the soldiers in the Saudi armed forces, including officers, some, many of whom trained over here in Britain at Sandhurst at the British Military Academy, are actually born in Yemen. So the Saudi army has tried to take what they consider to be the best soldiers or potential soldiers from all over the Arabian Peninsula. And it was really the Sykes-Picot Agreement and the British that and the French that divided up the Middle East in the way it is today. And so we should not see what's happening in Yemen as separate to Saudi Arabia. It's really, all, I mean, it's there are different parts and different ethnic groups in different parts of the country, but in many ways the Yemenis see themselves as Saudis, and they see themselves as the true Arabs, and they've got quite a good right to do that, because much of the Arab culture and heritage, many of the UNESCO World Heritage Sites for the Arab world are actually in Yemen itself. It was a place which was colonized by the British. There was an insurgency there back in the 1960s, much less bloody than today's, although it did end up in the overthrowing of a government. But the problem now is we've got President Hadi, who was put in place back in 2012 by the West to rule Yemen for the West in a similar way to Mohammed bin Salman rules Saudi Arabia for the West as a Western agent. And at that point, I'm afraid, the local people in Yemen decided they were not going to have this. And that's the point at which this so-called civil war started. So, but really, it was a civil war which was sparked by the West. Exactly as in Syria, it's really not a homegrown civil war, as we understand the term. It's a war of proxies from outside. Mm-hmm. And you can see this very clearly, because Hadi wouldn't have stood a chance if it hadn't been from the immense air support that's been given him by the Saudis, in really a proxy war. The Saudis are there fighting for the West, and there's a rather dangerous alliance, a mafia-like protection racket alliance going on between the Saudis, the Israelis, and the Western arms companies. And that, I think, is really one of the main things this is about, is the Western arms companies are always looking to spark off wars around the world and to exacerbate disputes, to make them much worse than they might otherwise be, because this brings massive amounts of billions of pounds, billions of dollars into the coffers of the shareholders of these enormous arms companies. So there's really very little principle when it comes to the Secretary of State in the United States, many of the European countries, foreign ministers, and the British Foreign Secretary in these cases. What they're really doing is they're trying to help their own domestic arms industries, in this case by supporting Saudi Arabia in its bombardment of Yemen.
Okay. Let me now go to Brussels. Elijah Magnier, also a journalist and Politico analyst, is joining us. Elijah, in your opinion, what's going on in Yemen? You know, the Saudis are not, and their allies are not winning the war in Yemen. The Ansarullah forces and army units are getting stronger and stronger. They are conducting these repulsive attacks, and Saudis are incurring losses, material and human losses, and their mercenaries. So what is it that Riyadh is still trying to achieve in Yemen?
I don't think Riyadh is trying to achieve anything. It's just not accepting to negotiate a peaceful settlement with the Houthi and sit around the table, unlike the Emirates that gave the signals that they are ready to talk. Riyadh is still stubborn enough to reject any dialogue with the Houthis, despite everything is happening between allies, and I mean between the Emiratis and the Saudis fighting together in the area they control. And it seems that the war is going on. It will not stop. It doesn't have any indication that it's going to stop any soon. At the parallel to that, the Houthis are getting stronger. They are better equipped. They are advancing with their warfare technology. They're sending more missiles, more drones, further than ever. They crossing 1,100 kilometers and bombing beyond Riyadh and giving messages also to the Emirati that they can bomb Dubai. But until today, we don't have any sign that the war is going to stop.
Mm-hmm. And from the back to London, Tony, which one is beneficial for Saudi Arabia to do, to go on with this war or to stop it as soon as possible?
Well, this depends on whether you're looking at Saudi Arabia as a country and its people, or whether you're talking about the leadership. Because in a classic protection racket, the leadership need the backing of a powerful outside state, in this case, the United States and Britain. And it doesn't benefit the people of Saudi Arabia to carry this on at all. It only enables the monarchy to stay in power through the backing of the West. But I want to dispute, because you gave some figures at the beginning about the number of deaths in Yemen. And this often happens in impoverished countries where there's very little proper news reporting and very little proper collating of the numbers of casualties. This happened exactly the same problem in the Western invasion of Iraq, that we had very, very bad figures for casualties. I'd just like to tell you, the Guardian newspaper in London announced in June that they believe that the death toll from the Yemen war over 4 years is close to 100,000 people. Now, this is mostly, of course, civilians. Well, we could be talking here about up to 90% of those being civilians, ordinary, innocent people who have been killed as a result of this Saudi and Western aggression. Most of those people have died of either famine or of famine-related disease. So we've seen the biggest outbreak of cholera in the modern world, in the modern period, since hundreds of years in Yemen because of the terrible sanitary conditions. The Saudis have been bombing, using often British or American munitions, water plants, which obviously in a very hot country like Yemen are crucial to enabling day-to-day life. And that's what's been being killed off. By these kinds of bombings, these attacks on infrastructure. They've run out in many cases of military targets to hit the Saudis, but they keep on hitting.
Right. Now, Elijah, we got a little time for this one last question. And who's going to pay for all this damage done to Yemen? Yemen was already one of the poorest in the world. And now with all this destruction, preventable diseases killing people, who's going to pay for all of this?
I don't think anyone is going to pay for all of this. We saw the war in Iraq, and the Americans didn't pay for the damage they've caused to the Iraqis and to the infrastructure of the country. And I don't think this is going to happen in Yemen. Everybody is happy to destroy Yemen because they're selling weapons to the Saudis and to the Emiratis to continue destroying Yemen. And now we see that Israel is on the line, is interfering in Yemen. We see that the British and the Americans are there present. They offering intelligence and drone to target killing Yemeni officials. But the war continues, nobody's going to pay. The Yemeni are capable of reconstructing the country. The day the Americans, the British, the Saudi, and the Emiratis leave the country and stop their aggression.
Okay. Now, we'll continue at this newsroom. Let me thank our guests. We had Elijah Magnier, journalist and political analyst from Brussels, and Tony Gosling, investigative journalist, who joined us from London. And thank you for watching this news review.